Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Lawnview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Have you ever had an identity crisis? Have you ever had an identity crisis? And I'm not talking about losing your purse or your wallet. That is one kind of identity crisis when you've lost your personal information. I'm talking about a real identity crisis, okay? When you're trying to figure out, who am I really? When you're trying to figure out who you really are. As Pastor Vicki and I have hit middle age, we both turned 50 this last summer.
We're old.
Not quite, but it feels like it some days. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to figure out how to shift our identity from being parents of children to empty nesters. And that's a really interesting journey.
That's why we got a dog.
That is why Pepper is really with us right now. I think that's really right. There's that identity shift from parent to empty nester that we hear about. I think there's the old stereotype of the midlife crisis. And I think that one conjures up the picture of grown men driving around in red sports car, dating women half their age, that kind of thing. That's all about identity crisis. And unfortunately, I think that many identity crisis situations, really what's happening is people are wandering around lost and really looking for meaning in their lives, looking for meaning in their work, looking for meaning from their faith. And looking for meaning in their relationships all around them. And people in the church are not immune from identity crises. Just because we're in the church and we come to church, we gather online like this, doesn't mean that we are immune to an identity crisis. I know that for men, a lot of us, we get our identity bound up in our jobs. You know, what we do in our jobs really identifies or it helps us understand who we are. And so if a man's job is in peril, we need to, understand that that's close to an identity crisis. We're probably all aware, I think, of sad stories where people we thought were maybe even solid Christian families of faith were ripped apart because somebody in the family had an identity crisis. Jesus warned us specifically about this when he taught the parable about building our houses. He said, beware, don't build your house on a foundation of sand. Because if we build our identity on a foundation of sand, when the water comes along, it's not going to be good. I think that people experience identity crises when their reality is threatened or their reality is shaken up. And they start realizing that they don't know really who they are or what they stand for anymore. The foundation upon which they built their life turns out not to be the solid rock that they thought it was, but instead it turns out to be sand. I think in order for us to be able to stand our ground, especially in the midst of COVID, pandemic restrictions, all the things that we've been going through, in order to be able to stand our ground, I think every single one of us, there's no one exempt from this message. Because in order for you to stand your ground, we all need to be deeply anchored into what we believe in, who we are, and what our core purpose is. So this message, this series is really for all of us, whether you've been in the church all your life or whether you're just new coming to church. For us to stand our ground in tough times, we need to be anchored in what we believe in, who we are, and what our core purpose is. Without those three things, we risk being blown away by life's challenges when things get tough. We risk getting washed away by the crisis when it comes along. We risk being knocked out when the going gets tough in our lives. And that toughness can look like getting sick, losing a job, not having enough money to pay a bill, a family member getting sick, a family member losing their job. I mean, these types of crises, they cause us to be at risk, even as followers of Jesus, to get knocked out when the going gets tough. So now more than ever, I think now more than ever, in these uncertain times that we face, in these exceptional days, we've been calling them exceptional, we've moved from uncertain to exceptional. In these uncertain times, now more than ever, we need to understand what we believe. We need to understand who we are, and we need to understand what our core purpose is in life as followers of Jesus. So over the next few weeks, we're going to take some time to explore our identity as followers of Christ. I think it's one thing to say we are anchoring our identity in Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. Great. It's another thing to fully understand what that means. And it's another thing to be able to fully apply that meaning to our lives to anchor us down so that we can withstand the wind blowing or the waters coming or the knockout punches that are thrown at us by life in difficult times. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be putting some effort into taking some time to explore how putting our faith in Jesus as our personal Savior informs who we are. It informs our identity. When you invite Jesus into your heart, he informs your identity. I think the Bible has some very specific things to teach us about who we become when we invite Jesus into our hearts as our personal Savior. I love the fact that when we receive the grace of Jesus, it doesn't simply save us for heaven when we die someday. Instead, when we accept Jesus into our hearts, when we accept the grace of Jesus personally for us, it doesn't just save us for heaven. It changes everything about who we are right here and right now. The blood of Jesus not only washes away all of our sins, I think it washes away all the distortions of our identity that have been obscured by our bad choices that we've made, been obscured by our sinful nature. And we're able to really start living into who we really are as human beings, who we were intended to be, who we were made to be. And you know, when we can do that, we can live with confidence and we can live with just a courage and an assurance when we're not really questioning the foundation of our identity. Simply put, when we accept Jesus into our hearts as our personal Savior, we're finally able to be ourselves. We are finally able to be comfortable with ourselves when we ask Jesus into our hearts. We are finally able to not only be comfortable with ourselves and just be ourselves, we're able to align our lives and our hearts with God's will and with the kingdom of heaven here on earth. So this week, I want to begin exploring what happens specifically to our identity when we believe in Jesus as our Savior. Okay? Then we're just going to focus what happens when you accept Jesus into your heart as your Savior. There is something that happens, and I want you to see this. We're going to kind of peel back the onion just a little bit this week. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 this morning. I really feel like Paul, when he's writing to the Roman church, Paul is specifically laying out in Romans chapter 8 what happens to you and I as we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts as our personal Savior. Romans chapter 8 is deep. I mean, it is deep. We could spend weeks just studying Romans chapter 8, but we're only going to take a couple of moments this morning to focus in on a few verses in Romans chapter 8, because it is just so deep and rich in explaining how God works in us through the grace of Jesus. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, Paul is in the middle of really explaining and addressing how belief in Jesus impacts the personal identity of believers. Okay, so he's in the middle of explaining what happens when we believe in Jesus. And in verse 15, we read this, just verses 15 through 17. Powerful, powerful truth here about how believing Jesus impacts our identity. Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 8:15, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, the spirit of daughtership. for you ladies out there. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirits that we are children of God. Isn't that awesome? Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. The word of God. What a wonderful truth this morning. There are a lot of words right there in verses 15 through 17 in Romans chapter 8. But I think in essence, what it's telling us, if I could boil it all down into something you and I can understand, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we are adopted into the family of God. Plain and simple. Just the picture of adoption, I think, encapsulates what Paul is talking about. How believing in Jesus as our personal Savior actually informs our identity. When we believe in Jesus, we are adopted into the family of God. Now, technically speaking, and some of you who are listening this morning are adopted. You have great stories about being adopted. And when we look at the law and when we look at our modern kind of concept of adoption, I looked it up and I found this out on the interwebs because that's all true, right? Technically speaking, adoption is the process whereby an individual assumes the parenting and responsibility of a child from that child's biological or legal parents. So what happens to us? What happens to you and I when we are adopted into the family of God? That's what we're going to talk about for just the next couple of moments here, okay? First of all, if you want to write these down, here you go. First of all, when we believe in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we become children of the living triune God. We become children of the King. One of my favorite songs, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. In essence, when we accept Jesus into our hearts as our personal Savior, I want you to think about the implications of that. We are adopted into the family of God. We become children of the King, which means that you and I become royalty. Catch that this morning. We become children of the King. Children of the King are royal. That's right. We are royal. Isn't that awesome? That's the reality of your identity when you accept Jesus Christ. You become royalty. If you've accepted Jesus into your heart and he is your personal Savior, you are a prince or a princess in the kingdom of heaven. I just think that's very cool. I just think that that's awesome that, you know, little boys and little girls always, dream of becoming knights or princesses or kings or queens. When we accept Jesus into our hearts, that's what's really happening. We are adopted into the family of God and we become children of the King. We are royal. The scripture that we read this morning says we don't accept Jesus as our master and then become slaves to him. It says we receive the spirit of sonship and daughtership. We are royal. And that brings us to our second point this morning. Really just boiling this down. Second point, when you accept Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior, not only a child of the King, you are finally able. You and I are finally able. Once we accept Jesus into our hearts, you are finally able to realize your VIP status in God's eyes. You're finally able to realize your VIP status in God's eyes. Did you know that you have always been a VIP? Isn't that cool? A VIP stands for a very important person. You know, we think about that in terms of somebody who drives in a limo up to a fancy hotel and gets the VIP treatment, gets the luxury boxes that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. You have always been a VIP to God. No matter what you've experienced in your life, no matter the choices that you've made, No matter your gender or your social status or your income level or your nationality or your political preferences, you are and always have been a VIP in God's eyes. Let that sink in for just a couple of seconds. You have always been a VIP in God's eyes. You're like, well, Pastor, I don't feel like a VIP, but you have been. It's only when we accept Jesus into our hearts and that we are accepting the grace and the forgiveness that comes from Christ that the scales are able to fall from our eyes and we are able to fully begin realizing the truth of that statement that you are a very important person to God. You are so important that God sent his one and his only son to save you. You're that important. You are so important that Jesus was willing to give up his life so that your life could be spared. You are that important. You are so important that God made a way for you to have a very personal relationship with him. You are that important. You are so important that God, the creator of the universe, of the stars and the sky, of everything that we see, the God who gives power to the powerful, the God who loves the humble, the God of the universe wants to have a relationship with you because you are very important to him. And that brings us to our third point this morning. Not only are you royal, not only are you a VIP, and you start realizing that when Jesus comes into your heart, but when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we are able to enter into a first name type of relationship with the Creator. First name basis. Now, most of us have a nickname for our fathers or for our mothers or for our grandparents, for our friends. We even have nicknames for our pets. We've had Pepper for a couple of months now, and her name is officially Pepper. But we both have kind of started calling her Stinky. And that's not an insult. It's a term of endearment. Pepper's got a nickname already in our household. I called my dad Pop. A lot of us in our family, dad's nickname was Harv. You know, that was just his nickname. My kids call me Dad. And often I go by Bop, B-O-P. That's my nickname. The nicknames are a sign of intimacy. Nicknames are a sign that there's an intimate relationship there. You don't go into your workplace and go up to your boss and say, hey there, Cupcake, how you doing? Right? There's not that intimate relationship. That's your boss. That's a kind of a employer, employee, master, slave type of relationship. There's a certain level of respect that happens there, right? But when we have nicknames for people, it's a sign that there's a different type of intimacy level there. We tend to give nicknames to those who are closest to us. We tend to give nicknames to those who get to see behind the scenes when we are vulnerable. We tend to give nicknames to those who get to see behind the curtain when we let our guard down. And those nicknames, I think, are evidence. If you had to go to court and prove it, those nicknames are evidence of a close, loving, intimate relationship. And I think they're born out of a sense of being comfortable in another's presence. They're really born out of a sense of earned trust. You can trust somebody enough that you can call them by a nickname. And Paul writes here in Romans chapter 8 that when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we're able to get close enough to God in a personal relationship with him, close enough to call him by his nickname, Abba, Father. Abba, translated into Aramaic or Hebrew, is Daddy. You know, we come into our prayers, our Father who art in heaven, and it sounds so majestic and royal. She is. But Paul is saying we can have such a close relationship with God the Father that when we pray to him, you can address him as Daddy or Papa or Bop, whatever works for you. But there's a level of intimacy that occurs in this relationship with God that we're able to have that informs our identity. Are you comfortable enough and your relationship with the Father to call him by such a close, personal, and yet reverent name. You can, because the Spirit testifies to us that we are God's children. We are not slaves. We are not servants. We are God's children. And that brings us to the fourth point this morning. When we accept Jesus as our Savior and are adopted as a child of God, not only are we children, royal, VIP, and get this intimate relationship with God, but when we are believing in Jesus as our personal Savior and when we're adopted as a child of God, we gain a new family. We gain a new family of brothers and sisters in Christ. And I've seen that testimony. People are thankful for their church family out here in the chat this morning. If you're thankful for your church family, hit the heart or the like button this morning. Let your church family this morning here on the broadcast know that you love them and are thankful for them. Jesus is God's one and only Son, but through Christ, there is no such thing, I want you to know today, as an only child. There is no such thing as an only child in the family of God. This is a really easy point. Aren't you thankful for our Maplewood faith family? I know that we are. I am personally. I know Pastor Vicky is. We are thankful for our faith family at Maplewood. And we don't just call each other faith family because it feels good. We don't gather at church on Sunday because it's a club. We call it a faith family because we really and truly are brothers and sisters through Jesus Christ. We are children of the living God. God said to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, you know, he said to Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for humanity to be alone. We need others in our lives, and God has gifted us with the faith family that we have through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, we need never, ever be alone. We all share a common thread. I want you to hear this morning. So focus in. We all share a common thread in our faith family, a common denominator. We were all lost, but now we are found. We were blind, but we received sight. We were shackled by sin, but now we're free. We were dead in our transgressions, but now we're alive in Christ. And we all share a common story, or we can share a common story, that when we ask Jesus into our hearts and we ask Jesus to save us from our sins, we not only found salvation, we found a family. We found belonging. We found community. We have found friends who could become closer than brothers or sisters in Jesus Christ. And that really brings us to the final point this morning. When we accept Jesus into our hearts, not only are we adopted as children, not only do we realize or begin to realize our true VIP status in God's eyes, not only do we gain that first name status with the Father, not only do we gain a faith family, when we're adopted into the family of God, when we receive Jesus into our hearts, we as children of God receive all of the rights and responsibilities as heirs, all the rights and responsibilities as heirs. In verse 17 of Romans chapter 8 here, it says, now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Earthly adoption doesn't just mean that a child gets new parents, okay? It goes all the way as if that child were born to those parents in the first place. Legal adoptions transfer all the rights and responsibilities as if the child were biologically born to the new parents. As children of God, as royalty, as princes, as princesses, we, when we're adopted into this family, we become heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Now, while earthly inheritances, they're going to rust and decay and fade away. Earthly inheritances have a limit. They're going to fade away. But our inheritance through Christ is something that we will be able to realize and enjoy eternally. It's never going to fade away. As a child of God, that eternal inheritance is your right. You have a right to that eternal inheritance as a prince or a princess in the kingdom of God. So we receive, we have the right to that inheritance. But we also receive the responsibility. I want you to see this as we close down this morning. We receive all the responsibility that comes with being an heir of the Father in heaven. After we accept Jesus, we are, as our identity is formed, we begin to follow Jesus and his ways. We begin to identify with Christ, not with our old self, but with Christ. And as we do, as we do begin to follow Jesus and learn his ways, we begin to learn about the things that are important to Jesus. And the things that are important to Jesus are things that are important to the Father in heaven, the things that are a priority to Jesus. The more we get serious about our new identity in Christ here on earth, after we accept Jesus into our hearts, the more we're going to start realizing that the mission of the kingdom is becoming more and more important to us personally. Which makes me want to ask you a question this morning. How truly important is the mission of the kingdom of heaven in your life today? Because the more important it is to us in our lives is evidence of how serious we are about our relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. The more we get serious about our new identity, what breaks Jesus' heart is going to break our hearts. What brings joy to Jesus is going to bring joy to us. Well, we will begin to start viewing people as souls that need saved rather than people we can manipulate to get what we want out of life. If we're really serious about it, accepting Jesus into our hearts is going to inform and change our personal identity immediately when we accept Jesus, and more over time as we learn his ways in this walk, as we're learning to love God and we're learning to love other people. So many people are, I think, staggering around this world in misery. And I think that's really because they don't know who they are. And they're struggling to find meaning and purpose. And they're trying to alleviate that misery by drifting from substance to substance, or from relationship to relationship, from job to job, from religion to religion. Have you seen that? Maybe even some people are floating from church to church in an effort to seek meaning in their lives, to seek answers, to seek belonging. That's really what's driving all this. And I'm here just simply this morning as part of this message, as we're closing things down this morning, to remind some of you needed to be reminded this morning of who you are in Christ Jesus this morning. You're a child of the King. You're royal. And maybe I'm here this morning to help some of you who are listening to this. Maybe I'm here to help some of you realize who you can become if you're really ready to start getting serious about being a follower of Jesus Christ. When we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we begin realizing that we are children of the King. We begin realizing that we are royal. And that changes everything.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.